Welcome back to the Better Everyday Podcast, where we are unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is David Garcia, and this is my beautiful wife, Grace Garcia. And today marks episode 32, which is, I don't know if you guys are getting bored of this, but we're pretty proud of it. But yeah, here we are. What is it? Wednesday, October 9th. We're almost done with the year. We got a couple of weeks left before we take a little hiatus, a little month-long hiatus, and enjoy the Christmas time. And one of the best things that we do enjoying the Christmas time is spending time with family and spending time with their kids and giving kids the best memories possible, which is a great segue to today's episode, which will be the second part of parenting. So we've done a parenting episode already. It was more about our story, you know, the process that we went through with having a baby, the ups and downs, the things that I had to grow in, finding our rhythm. It took some time, but we believe that now we're here. And right now we are sitting here as parents of a 6-year-old, soon to be a 7-year-old, and a 3-year-old. And the 3-year-old, she's going to turn 4 in like 6 months. And so, yeah, we wanted to talk to you guys about and also have a conversation about, you know, having kids. Obviously, we have not entered into the teenage world, so we can't really talk too much about that part. We can maybe reference our teenage lives, but times do change.
Or my students.
Or your students, yeah. But we wanted to talk about having kids. We wanted to touch on topics such as what is it that we know now that we wish we knew before? What are the ups of parenting? What are the lows of parenting? What responsibilities do we carry as parents? And so let's just start at the very beginning and let's just say, let me give you a question. And the question will be, what do you know now that you wish you knew at the beginning or before parenting?
What do I know now that I wish I knew? Something I didn't know.
Yeah, in regards to parenting.
I didn't know how overstimulated it would be. I think now, well, you know how like your social media for you page kind of caters to you. So I can't say it didn't exist back then. Because obviously I wasn't like looking for those types of posts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But now I constantly see jokes and like references made to like overstimulated parents and things like that. But it wasn't in the world of like Reels or even TikTok. So it could be more now. But I didn't really register how your patience, how thin it could be worn, how overstimulated you could be, and that you're going to have to really dig deep and find patience when you might think you might not have any.
Okay, I want to say two things. One, if you guys haven't noticed, one of my wife's favorite words is overstimulation or being overstimulated.
I don't think I've said it that much in the podcast, but I do say it a lot in real life.
Yes, you do. second, so you're saying that you wish you knew that back then, which means what? You wouldn't have had kids?
No, I would have. I think just
so how does
mentally,
that change anything?
Mentally prepare, like how much patience it requires. Like I always thought I was good with kids, and I felt like I was good with kids, and then just how to calm myself, because it's usually about regulating your own emotions so that you don't lash out, and so you could teach your children how to regulate theirs. I think there wasn't a lot of that modeled or taught to me of how should I regulate my emotions so that I don't like quickly snap at them or yeah, lose my cool.
So from what I hear you saying, it kind of sounds like if you could go back in time, you would push the schedule. Like if you had a say in it, you would have pushed it like 3 or 4 years for you to practice being patient and learning how to.
No, I think I would have. It would have been cool if I took therapy. I think it never registered to me, so I don't know if I would have, but teenage, adolescent, young adult, And I think they always like in Hispanic household, it's not really, it's just like, oh, you know, there's a lot of being told what to do and not really modeling self-regulation of what that looks like. When a parent gets frustrated, it's like, I'm going to give you the belt or I'm going to give you a whooping. It's not really modeled. And I think just going to therapy and learning self-regulation skills would have helped.
So you wouldn't have changed the schedule. You just would have added therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So are you saying that you need therapy now?
I probably do. I highly believe it, that therapy works wonders. And I've thought about it. Like once you're done with your sessions, I'd like to go back.
Okay. For me personally, what do I know now that I wish I would have known before? Honestly, for me, it's complete opposite as you. I wish I would have just known how great it was going to be a parent. And the reason why I say that, you guys can go back to the first episode of parenting, but both my reactions to being pregnant weren't the greatest. And I don't honestly know if it was just shock or if it was like, I'm scared or what, but I wish that I would have like the instances that I've had now being a parent and going back there and being like, hey buddy, like talking to myself, like, hey buddy, it's going to be okay. Like celebrate it, celebrate with your wife that, you know, she's telling you that she's pregnant, you know? So that's what I wish I would have known. In regards to parenting, I guess that's another good question. Do you like being a parent?
I do. And I think
honestly, though,
no, I do.
I feel like there's only one right answer.
No, I am. And the reason why, well, your answer was yours, not mine. I knew it was going to be great. Like I never knew what my life looked like, but I knew I wanted to get married young and I wanted to have kids young. Like that's what I knew. Out of other things, I was like, maybe this, maybe that. But two things, like I knew for certain, I think I had such a great mom and she modeled a happy marriage and raising us up to the best of her ability. And she was an awesome mom. Like she was an awesome person, period. And so I knew whenever I have kids, like I'm gonna be okay. I knew God has got me. I knew it was going to be amazing memories. I knew I was going to try my best for them. So I knew like the fun parts. I never really dwelled on like, I think it was like naive to marriage, same thing. Like it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And so when I hit it, I'm like, oh, okay. There's definitely like down parts, but I do like being a parent. I think everything, all of the memories, it's true when they say, like when you see it through their eyes, it makes it that much more special. Like I had great childhood memories. I think I had an amazing childhood. But seeing it like through their eyes now, like trying to think of, okay, what are traditions I can do so that they can look back and remember. And it makes it so special. Seeing Elijah has like great facial expressions, like any little thing where his eyes just widen up and he's like, oh my goodness. Like I try my best to recreate that as much as I can in my kids. Cause it makes me happy seeing them happy. And when they succeed, I feel like I succeed. And same thing when they're sad or not doing good, I feel like I'm not doing good. I don't know if that's a little bit like selfish, but I love seeing world through their eyes. I think kids make it so much more special.
Okay. And what other highs do you have as being a parent?
I remind myself, I think it is a training ground. It's like our first ministry. So it's a training ground. I think when I look at the Bible and it says that God wants us to be certain type, like righteous and slow to anger and patient and things like that, it's like, okay, here, now practice that, like do that. And so I truly, it's challenging. And sometimes I doubt in myself, like, am I going to be good at it? Am I going to fail? But I'm like, wow, I get to, and it's scary. I feel the burden, but it's like, I get to make disciples. Like I get, these little kids are looking up to me. And they're following my step. They're looking at my mistakes. They're looking at what I'm doing right. And it feels like a huge, again, the responsibility I don't take lightly, but it's amazing knowing that God entrusted me these gifts and I get to mold them. I get to shape them. As scary as it is, it's also thrilling. It's like a card with two sides. Because I don't take lightly. That's like the thrilling and kind of like scary part. But the other side, it's like, this is a huge responsibility that I don't take for granted.
What is the best part of you loving your kids?
I see God's relationship in that, where he loves us unconditionally. And they always say, like, you really don't get to experience it. And I don't think I have experienced it to the magnitude. I think we will in heaven and really able to grasp what that looks like. But being a parent, God gifts you that. Like, look, this is how I love you. And it's loving them unconditionally, knowing that they make a mistake. And I'm like, no, we love you. Like, it's okay. Like, being able to give our kid comfort and safety and love and recognizing that that's what our Heavenly Father does to that and see kind of like the parallel journeys there, I think is awesome.
Okay. If you were to ask me that question, I think, what is the best part of being a parent? I think just having little innocent kids that I get to love and just pour into as much as possible. That's probably one of my greatest joys. Right now it's a little harder with our three-year-old. She's a 100% a mommy's girl. So even the short times that I get to take her out, like we went on a father-daughter dance like last year, and it lasted about like 30 minutes or so. And then she was like, I want to go home to mom. And I'm like, all right. And she's not very like outgoing, so we didn't get to fully enjoy. I feel like both of our kids are very like observing, like they really like take it in their surrounding.
Yeah.
Which usually means they just sit there like with like almost a stoic face and just like take it in. But you could tell like they're taking it in and processing it.
Yeah.
But it kind of like impedes them from like enjoying in the process. So I'm hoping that like with time they get, it becomes common to them where they can just allow themselves to like enjoy it. If they want to.
Yeah.
But with Elijah, I love loving that kid and learning with him. And just like you said, with kids, you learn a lot of life skills. Mm-hmm. You learn a lot of patience. You learn a lot of forgiveness and grace. You learn that it's okay when people mess up. And it's just part of their learning process. And that's something definitely like, so I've said it here before, I'm doing one-on-one counseling. And one of the things that really just kind of punched me in the gut was I was talking to the counselor and he made me realize like, oh, like I didn't feel like I got to be a kid. Like I felt like I couldn't make any mistakes because I'd always get disciplined or I'd always get called out or I'd always get, yeah, basically just disciplined, condemned.
Like, reprimanded.
Yeah, reprimanded. And I felt like most of my life, it was like tiptoeing and making sure I didn't make any mistakes because if I made a mistake, I knew there was a punishment coming. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't much grace. And so now that I see Elijah, like when I had this conversation with the counselor, I realized that. But then also I was like, man, am I doing the same thing with Elijah? And when I thought about that, I'm like, I think there has been times where he does like just an innocent kid mistake. And I'm like, Elijah, what are you doing? And blah, blah, blah. And when I thought about that, I'm like, I cannot repeat that same cycle. I can't do that same thing. And so learning and accepting for me, it's that giving grace of like, he's just a kid. Let him be a kid. He's going to make a mistake. Mm-hmm. He's going to run and he might bump into his sister and his sister might fall and she's obviously going to cry. I can't be like, Elijah, what the heck? You have to be perfect. Like, you can't do that. Like, he's a kid. He's 6 years old. He's going to run. Mm-hmm. He's going to shout. He's going to jump. He's going to do all these things. Yes, grant, like, we're not going to allow him to do whatever the heck he wants whenever he wants. We have to teach him how to, like, when is the right time, how to do it, you know, look out for your surroundings, be safe. But it just made me realize that, like, okay, it's okay for them to be kids. And again, that translates to what you were saying. Like, you learn so many life lessons. It's a training ground of now I can like amplify that and give grace to even more people and be like, well, you know, I don't know what they're going through. I don't know how they grew up. I don't know what their thought process is. Like, give them grace. People are going to make mistakes, and even like looking inward and be like, I'm going to make mistakes too, even as a father. But yeah, it's just learning with Elijah, seeing him smile. Another instance that I had, which was really beautiful, this past Saturday, took him to LA Galaxy game, and he's been playing soccer on two different teams. And he loves it. And we always cheer him on. We believe in him. We're always like, you're going to do so good. And so I took him to this game. He saw the big field. He was like so impressed. And then I gave him like, you know, like a father-son speech. And I'm like, if you really want to play in a field like that, you can do it. You just got to believe. Mommy and daddy believe in you. We're going to be here to encourage you, to cheer you on. Any way that we can help, we're going to help. And so just try your best. And in doing that, again, it was such a beautiful moment, because I basically, and this is tying into with the therapy of the counseling, I got to do to him what I wish would have been done onto me. And it was such a beautiful moment. And that right there is why I always continue to say, like, those people that say, oh, I can't give because I've never been given XYZ, that's complete bogus, at least in my opinion. Because I didn't get what I gave to Elijah on Saturday, but I gave it to him, and wholeheartedly and genuinely and authentically. And it was a beautiful moment for him, but it was also kind of like a healing moment for me as well. Because I was actually talking to the counselor today about it, and I was telling him, as I was speaking to him, like three quarters of the way of the speech, it kind of like clicked, like I'm also speaking almost to like myself as well. And that's part of a beautiful story about parenting as well, is even though, because a lot of us can sit here and be like, well, I didn't have the greatest of childhood. You usually say that you have an amazing childhood, but you know, there's a good amount of Hispanics that will be like, I didn't have that great of a childhood. Or any race really can say like, oh, I didn't really have that good of a childhood. And you could use that as an excuse of, that's why I can't really show my kids love, or why I can't tell them that I love them, why I'm not very verbally loving, whatever reasons, right? But it's in those moments when you have a lack. And when you have a lack, like there's stories in the Bible as well, I believe it was with Elisha and a widow, where it was filling up the jars of oil, I think. And she was like, I got nothing. And she ended up with a bunch of jars of oil. And like, it's in those instances when you feel like you ain't got nothing to give because you've never been given anything. Like you're in scarce, you're running on empty or whatever, where just like God comes in, fills it up, does the work, and then you walk away like, okay, that could never be me. Like I could never take the glory for this. I could never say like, oh, well, I'm such just a great father because I'm a great father. It's like, no. Like, at least the way that I believe, God intervened. God came in. You said there was scarcity. That's where God works the best. Came in, and I'm able to love my child unconditionally. So that's my greatest joy, of just being able to love, and especially seeing that God work through that relationship, and seeing like where I came from, where I am now. Like, that's one of my greatest joys, is just loving my kids.
That's beautiful. And I'm sure, I think we always see it on how kind of what we teach the kids or the lessons that God gives us. But I feel like how you said, similarly, like, or in between the lines, or what I got is like, they can also teach us, and they don't even know. Mm-hmm. Like, kids are so innocent and so little, but in their own ways, they themselves teach us unconditional love, or they can say things or do things that we're like, oh my goodness, like they probably don't even mean it, they probably don't remember, but it sticks to like our heart and we're like, wow, we needed that. Like, they have no idea how much of an impact they cause us. They have no.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the best sources to get some of those moments that you're talking about. I've talked about it before where sometimes I do like an assessment, you know, and we've talked about how like their opinion sometimes is a little bit biased.
Yeah.
But there is times where I ask like, oh, do you think I'm nice to mommy? And he'll be like, sometimes. And it's just like, okay, he has no like skin in the game really there. So he's like, it's an innocent opinion. It's an innocent, unbiased opinion of like, yeah, okay, this is what I actually think. And having those like moments, I'm just like, okay, I clearly need to be better. I need to step up. And so, yeah, you learn so much from having kids. And we've talked about it, I believe, in the ministry episode as well, where there's some of us that, let's say, are like 20 years old, but we want to be in ministry, but we ain't got no like resume. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, you when you usually go to like a job interview, they ask you how much experience do you have? And especially if you want to enter in a ministry where you're leading like maybe older people, you know, like, and I'm not diminishing people who are young that can't be leaders. But what I am saying is like, if you're, let's say, 20 years old and you're leading somebody who's like 45, it's like, really, what are you going to tell them in the marriage department? What are you going to tell them in the parenting department, like, if you don't have kids? And I think being a parent is part of that training ground of like, when you get to that certain age or whenever God calls you, just like, hey, go. It's just like, yeah, like you got a resume, you got some experience, like you've dealt with little kids, so you should be able to deal with adults, because adults are a little more logical, you know?
Yeah.
But let's move on to the next thing. What are some of the lows of being a parent?
Well, it goes back to when I feel overstimulated. I feel like you say things and then you overthink it. Like, did I just scar them? Are they going to have to go to therapy for this? Or they're upset. And with Elijah right now is what I'm talking about, because Uriah, she's too young. But I know it'll get to that point where they'll just say what comes to mind, like to get a reaction from you. Like, I don't like you, or I don't want to live here. Like, you know, things like that. And those moments suck, where you're just like, okay, what do I do? How do I say? How do I proceed? And I think this balance of, and I think a lot of us first geners, I'm going to speak for at least me, we come from a Hispanic culture of how they used to do things. And we're like, okay, maybe we don't want to do exactly like that. And we see kind of how people who've lived here for a long time do it. And we're like, okay, maybe we don't want to do that. And we're still trying to find like who we are as parents, like our identity as parents, or who God wants us to be and how he wants us to disciple these kids. And like, that comes with discipline. And I think finding the balance is so hard of, when do I need to be firm, stay my ground, correct? When do I need to be loving and gracious and hoping that that's going to cause like a transformation, like a radical love? Finding that balance is hard when you're just like, oh my goodness, what should I do? Like, I wish there was like an answer. Like, God, like, speak to me right now. Like, mm-hmm. What's the play-by-play? And sometimes and it's scary knowing the true test if we're good parents or not can come when they're 20s. Like, there's no quizzes along the way that say you're on the right spot or you're not. Like, you can see glimpses here and there, but the next day could be bad. The next day could be good. You're just kind of blind, like roughing it. Like, I don't know. That's how I see it.
Yeah. I think the lows for me would be when your unresolved issues come out to light and they project on the kids. So like, I talked about it a little bit. When any of them make a mistake and I start, oh, you can't do like that, blah, 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 or you shouldn't be crying. Those are the times where I've realized, and I'm grateful that I have not that high a level of pride where when I know I made a mistake, I go apologize to them, even though if they're kids, like,
yeah,
they deserve an apology if you did wrong. So there have been times where I have to apologize, mostly to Elijah. And so the lows sometimes is also like the guilt that comes with that. The moments that you screw up, mm-hmm. and the guilt that comes with it. And then the thought of like, is this moment going to mark him for the rest of his life?
Yeah.
He's going to remember it always. And because it's a fact that they usually remember the bad things more than they remember the good things. Although like there are some good things that, you know, that they'll never forget, but the bad things usually mark them pretty well. And I think that's part of the low, is knowing that you screwed up. And you're just like, how am I going to fix it? And it's just like an instant moment. You can make a mistake and it's going to take time to fix it. It's going to take effort. It's going to take trust. It's going to take work. And it's crazy. One instant to now you got to put in time. It's not like one instant for one instant. It's like, no, you made a mistake. You yelled at him. You screamed at him at the top of your lungs. You hurt his feelings. You scared him. You might have almost traumatized him, if not traumatized him. And now you got to make him feel, because based on the books that we've read, it's just like the moment that you get him to that point, what are these kids thinking when you get to that point? They're thinking there's probably shame. There's probably, I'm not a good kid. There's like, because through counseling, actually, I found out that usually a kid that goes through that type of situation, instead of saying that my parent is bad, it's easier for them to say that I am bad. And that, like, to realize that, that is like a huge weight to carry as a parent. And especially if you've made those mistakes, it's just like, oh man, like that's, I never want any of my kids to feel like they're bad kids. And to be honest and transparent, like there's been times where Elijah's like, I know I'm a bad kid. Luckily, mm-hmm. he hasn't said it in a while, but there's been times where he goes, I know I'm a bad kid. And like, if we as parents really care and we read between the lines, that didn't come from one moment. That came from many moments. And again, it's easier for a child to be like, I am the bad one, instead of, no, my parents screwed up. It's easier for them to cope with that, because at least they can always feel like, if they don't put that label on their parents, they at least feel like they're safe in their house. And they're the ones that need the work. They're the ones that need to be better. But that's not usually the case. The case usually is, and this is, again, part of the low, the case usually is when we get to that point where we yell, it's not that the kid really is doing anything that crazy, or at least for our kids. It's usually that we feel overstimulated, overwhelmed, and we can't handle it. And we feel like this is the only way that we can stop whatever it is that's like really driving us up the wall to stop. And then we do it, we snap, feels good for a split second, and then you realize what you just did to your kid.
Yeah.
And I think that's definitely one of the lows. And it comes with, you know, what my next question would be is, what responsibility do we have as parents? And that'd be one of the responsibilities. I joke about it, but it is serious for me. One of the responsibilities that we have as parents for our kids is, don't screw these kids up. Like, you want to set them up for success, right? So yelling at them, traumatizing them, getting them like that, it's just like, that's, you're kind of slowing them down at that point. Because now, hopefully, you're the type of parent that analyzes and meditates and prays and thinks about these moments, and you start like working right now, rather than when they're 16 and they're acting out and you're like wondering why they're acting out. And then you come to realize it was because you marked them years ago and you never did anything about it. And so I think that's one of the responsibilities. Would you add any responsibilities to what you feel?
I think we have a lot of responsibilities. We have the responsibility to model a good marriage, because based off of what they see in the home, I think that's what they're going to navigate towards and see, like, kind of paint the picture of what love is. What are they going to look for when it's time for them? I think we have the responsibility of instilling in them a good identity and value, knowing that the value doesn't come based off what they do, which is hard. Sometimes we say, like, good job if they do something good, and recognizing that they're just good. They're good kids. They're awesome kids, and it doesn't tie in to what they can produce at school or produce in sports or get a reaction from their siblings, whatever it is. And that's tough sometimes. I think we have the responsibility to not make Christians, that's not our job, but make it easy and set that foundation so when the Holy Spirit comes and encounters them, they're more likely to say yes, and we've established that good foundation of what it looks like to love Christ, what it looks like to go to him in our time of need, what it looks like to be his disciple. We follow Jesus in hopes that they follow our steps, right? And so I think that we have that responsibility. We have a responsibility of showing them how to be good stewards of what they have. The chores in their home, school, making them excellent in everything, because we see it as a blessing that God has given us and not to just, oh, I'm going to just do life halfway. Mm-hmm. You know, God has entrusted us with this. And so let's take good care of it. Let's do the best that we can. A responsibility to be a good citizen and love on people, love their neighbors, love their siblings, like what that looks like in the earth, like us modeling it and then having them follow that as well. We have a lot of responsibility.
I think in everything that you're saying, what I hear really at the top of everything is, as parents, you have the responsibility to be the best versions of yourselves. Mm-hmm. Because everything that you said that we have the responsibility of teaching our kids comes from example.
Yeah.
All of it. And, you know, you don't want to be that parent that do what I say, but not what I do. Because that's not really a way that they learn.
Yeah.
They learn by seeing. And so, I would also add in like the responsibility of, you know, protecting. Something that I was talking to my counselor about today is I feel like a personal responsibility of not allowing my kids to repeat the same feelings that I had as a kid. So I always wanted to be in relationships, and it was because I was looking for love and security and all these things in different places, because I feel like I wasn't getting it at home. And so I feel the responsibility to love my kids so much where they don't feel like a desperate need to find that love somewhere else. I want them to feel such confidence at home where they don't feel like they need to look for that affirmation from someone else. I want them to have a strong biblical foundation. That way they know where they come from and where they're going, and they don't have to wander like the world, like looking for different places to tell them like what their purpose is, you know?
Yeah.
I just want them to just be overly loved, encouraged, know that we believe in them, know that we're here for them. And I just feel like I feel that responsibility for myself is like, I don't want them to feel what I feel. And all that comes from that. And it goes back to like, I saw a video once, this dad was talking about how, I think it's like once a year, he takes his daughter to like a trip. And it's just like, he basically does everything that he can for his daughter. I honestly don't know if he spoils her, but that's a different topic. But he does everything that he can for his daughter just so, he's like, just so like no guy with some money but has no morals or values can just sweep her off her feet because he's given her all the stuff that she wants. You know, like he wants his daughter to be able to fall in love with a man that actually has values, that has morals, that has a purpose, like that is well-rooted, really. And it's just like sometimes because we aren't able to show our kids how loved they are, or how valued they are, or how seen they are, or that we can give them things, you know, that they don't, again, that they don't have to desperately look for outside of the home. Just like, I think you set up your kids in a good way. Granted, we have talked about this as well, where it's just like, you can give them everything and then they could just be leeches for the rest of your life. It's like, no, that's not what we believe in.
Yeah.
Like, but for them to be able to know that they are valued, they have a high value, that they are loved, all these things, where it's just like, when they find their match, it's just like, they're not really completing them. They're just coming into agreement of like, we're going to work together and we're going to be a great team. I have this strong foundation. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good. But I think of the prodigal son, though. Like, he had it all. And he had the value. Like, he knew who his dad was, where he came from. And yet, I think there comes a moment in every single person's life when, especially if you were raised in a good home with good parents and, like, a good value system, right? Not every single parent is perfect, and there's not going to be any parent, a perfect parent out there. But I think in a kid's life, or in a teenager, young adult, whatever his life, there's going to come a point where it's like, hey, you might be missing out on something. Something that your parents haven't. Kind of like Adam and Eve, right? Hey, you have everything you need. You have all of the value and all of the love here in this garden in my relationship with God, but you might be missing out on something. And a kid might go out and take that temptation for a little bit, but I think what the Bible says is true. Like, if you showed them the way, they'll come back. And so there might be a point where your kid is going to mess up, and don't take that part like, oh, I did something wrong, you know?
I think also, because you already said that, which is a great thing, we could also talk to our kids about that.
Yeah.
Of like, there might come a time where you're going to feel like, hey, I'm missing something. And at that point, we're, let's just say that they're adults already, 18 plus. But as long as like we impart that into them, there might come a time where you feel like you're missing something. Although you have all these things, and it might not be that you're not grateful for it. I mean, it might be that you are ungrateful for it. But you'll feel like you got to go somewhere else to find something. It's completely up to you. But just know that history in the Bible shows.
Yeah, you'll be back.
Not that you'll be back, but that it's most likely a mistake for you to go out and get that.
Yeah. And that's another challenge with parenting. It's like, what parent are you going to be? Like, I'll mess up with you. Not I'll mess up with you, but I'll be...
I'll party with you. Let's go.
Like, I'll be there with you, not agreeing it, but I want to be there with you. I want to know. I want to kind of like protect you as best as I can. Or you go on your own. You come back. I'll love you and I'll accept you when you come back, but I don't want nothing to do with this. Like, that is hard, you know? Like, what stance? Because the podcast, The Lights On with Carl Lentz. I don't know if you heard the one, I don't even know what episode it was. They were talking about how the kids did like, the daughters did like this huge party.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
When they were gone, and they came back and they were like, what the heck? And they did not seem upset when they were talking about it. Like, they thought it was funny. And they said that obviously they called the cops because like they couldn't even move in their house. Like, it was so packed, but the kids knew, like, if I talk to my parents, like, they're going to fix this. Like, if I talk to my parents, they're not going to shame me. They're not going to, like, belittle me, get me in trouble. Like, I can go to them. Like, when I need help, I can go to them. Mm-hmm. And they ended up being, like friends in that situation. And it seems like they're really close. And what I love about their relationship is, like, the honesty between them. And so it's, like, what kind of parent do we want to be in the situations? And I feel like I've asked you like, hey, we should mentally get prepared. So we're like, we're in the same front when they get older. I'm hoping we have a long time ahead of that. But before we know it, they're going to be teenagers.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
Yeah. In that regard, I just feel like we need to do the best that we can as parents. And then, I think because we're thinking about it, we're talking about it now, and we should continue to talk about it. Like, we should just know teenagers are going to be teenagers.
Yeah.
Like, we need to take the idea of our kids are going to be the perfect kids out of our minds.
Yeah.
Because whatever mold of perfection that we have for a kid, I don't think that really exists. And it's the same thing, same conversation that we had like a couple episodes ago, where it's just like, when you think you have it all, you don't really have it all. There's something missing.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, as much as, I mean, I hear you brag about Elijah and Uriah all the time. My kids, they're so calm and blah, 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 blah. And they're so smart and they're athletic and blah, blah,
they're
blah.
They're the best kids.
But there's times where it's hard and you're overstimulated. So they're not so perfect. And same thing when they're teenagers. Like, most teenagers make dumb mistakes. Like, and we just got to know that those times are coming.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to, like, think about, like, okay, if and when that happens, how are we going to react? We might as well think about it now. You know, like, that way, at least for me, that's how I work. I've said this before. Like, it's like a program that I have to put in my head. And if I've already thought about it and I already processed it in my head, like, when it comes, I think I'll react a little bit better than I would have if it was a surprise.
Yeah. And, well, as you were talking, I was like, yeah, it's not fair to expect perfection when King Solomon, the most wise, was searching outside of, like, God. He says he had so many wives. He drank. He did everything he could to see. And he, at the end of his conclusion, it was like, there's nothing under the sun. It's all vain.
Yeah.
And King David, a man after God's own heart, like, stumbled having the relationship that he did. Like, it's not fair for, we're asking children with a not fully developed frontal lobe decision-making skill to act better than we have, or act better than, like, the biblical men and women in the Bible. Like, it's not fair to put that pressure on them, knowing they're going to fail. And if we put that pressure on them, that's where, like, the shame comes in. Like, I'm not good enough. Because that was the mark my parents had me in. And I think that's what Jesus did. It's like, he fulfilled the law knowing we can't. Like, it's impossible to, with a T, abide by the law. Like, we're going to break it. But he fulfilled it to get rid of shame. Because if there's something in your face saying, you can't reach this, you can't reach this, you can't reach this, that's where shame comes in. That's where the accuser has you on a stronghold. And that's where you feel like, I'm not good enough to enter God's presence. Mm-hmm. I'm not good enough to be loved by him. I'm not good enough. And he came to be like, okay, forget about this. Just love me. Like, my love is so perfect. My love can cover this. My love is enough. Just worry about my relationship with you. Like, I got the rest. And in that relationship, that's where we strive to be better. And we'll meet it with his grace and his righteousness only in him. But I think that's what we have to do as a parent. It's like, take your standards and throw them out the window and, like, focus on loving them. Focus on being there for them. That's what's going to make them great kids at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think, like you said, when you break that mold of, like, the perfect kid, then you're able to more easily give grace when they need it.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I watched in a basketball documentary on Netflix, and I'll never forget, he was talking about, like, kids in college already, but I think it's the same in kids any age. And it's basically like, when these kids deserve the love, when these kids deserve love the least is when they need it the most.
Mm-hmm.
Basically meaning, like, when they make the biggest mistakes, that's when they need somebody in their corner. And so many kids nowadays, or even adults, just like, whenever you make a mistake, what do? You retreat. You don't want anybody to see you, because you're just like, nobody's going to have my back. But how crazy would it be as us parents to break at least that mold in our family, where when they made a mistake, it's like, no, we got your back. We're in your corner. Like, even though you made a mistake, like, I'll stand here with you. I'm not going to tell you that what you did was right, but I will stand here with you, let you process, and then I'll coach you through how you can be better.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, that's again, another one of the beauties of being a parent. And then what we talked about, I think it was the last episode or the episode before that, of just creating controlled environments, you know, like, yeah, like let them flap their wings. You know, they're like, you like to bug me all the time about David, like if your kid's going to ask you, like, if he can go to the party, what are you going to do? And I'm just like
trying to mentally prepare you for
no,
it.
Never.
He said he's never going to go to a party. He's never going to ask or want to go to a party. I'm like, but he's already asking.
Yeah. And so, like, I think about, like, the control environment and, yeah, thinking about, okay, like, let him have a party here and at least we know that we'll be here and, you know, we're not going to let anything crazy happen or whatever, right? But, yeah, just allowing them that, hey, they're going to have to learn how to fly eventually. They're going to take risks eventually. And it's just like, we'll be here to, like, make sure that you don't die. We'll be here to make sure that you're okay. And if you need help, we'll be here to help you. And we'll be here to coach you. And we'll be here to edify you. And there might be times, you know, like, and hopefully we can find a way where it's not a shameful way, but like they need, what's that word? Exhortation. Like they need like.
Exhortation.
Yeah. Like a firm, like, hey buddy, like that wasn't right what you did. Still love you. Still here with you. But what you did was not right. And here's how we can do better. And maybe even through that process, even ask them, like, do you want to be better? Maybe the answer for a little bit is no, I don't. I want to just keep doing this dumb thing.
Yeah.
But, like, hopefully their answer is yes. And just say, hey, we've been there before. We can help you. You know? And as I'm saying this, I also hear the parents that are dealing with teenagers. And I know that there is a stage where the teenagers go, you don't get me. You don't understand me. Like, you're so old. You've never been through what I've been through. There might be times where it's just like, as much as we want to be there for them, they'll push us away and be like, nah, screw off. Like, mm-hmm. Let me do it on my own. I know what I'm doing, you know, but we still got to be there with our safety net. Like, I'm not gonna let you die, buddy. But yeah, it's, I love parenting. And honestly, I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is a dream come true for me to have my wife, to have my two kids, to be able to love them, to have a beautiful little girl that throws on a dress and a crown and she twirls around and she says, look at me, daddy. And just tell her how beautiful she is. And a son that's looking for the validation from a father of like, did I do good? And yeah, you did great. You know, just like, and I believe in you and all this stuff. Like it's, I love it. I love it. Like, yeah, they fight. They fight. Guys, if you guys have more than one, they fight.
A lot.
They fight a lot.
They annoy each other.
But at the same time, they love each other.
Everything. It's like marriage.
Like, there's times where they could be fighting. And 5 minutes later, Ariel will be like, where's Elijah? Just like, you were just mad at him like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're going to drive you off the wall sometimes. They're going to test your patience. They're going to make mistakes. But being a parent is so beautiful. Because, A, they're yours. You get to see them grow up. You're a steward of them. You're able to coach them. You're able to see how good of a job you're doing. But also, you get to set them up for success. And they also push you to be better. Like, I remember, like, when I got engaged, that, like, I got to step up, you know? When I got married, I got to step up. But when you have kids, it's like another level of like, you got to step up even more. Like yeah. I said, you have the responsibility of being the best version of yourselves. You are now a role model to this kid. If you're a healthy person that does sports, guess what they're going to want to do? What they're going to want to be healthy and they're going to want to do sports. If you're super smart and you read books, guess what they're going to want to do? They're going to want to be smart and read books. If you're able to afford vacations and you're able to not use debt and you're able to be wise with financial stuff and you're able to teach them, what do you think they're going to do when they grow up? They're going to do those things. Again, that doesn't mean that they're not going to make mistakes along the way, but that you are imparting your wisdom on them, you are. And like I said, even though they deviate off the path a little bit, they'll come back because sometimes they get a little curious, you know? I remember being a little curious and just being like, oh, let's just see what this road leads to. Like, maybe it's not that bad. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, it was that bad. I should just go back to what my parents told me.
I can't relate. Just kidding.
Yeah, okay. And so, okay, so the last question. We are talking to parents that are already parents, maybe parent of one, parent two, older kids, younger kids. Maybe we're talking to people who are currently pregnant. Maybe we're talking to people that don't have any kids but want kids. Or, yeah. And so my question to you is, tying it together with the last episode of government, if you could give advice to somebody that is on the fence of pro-choice and like not knowing, like, should I keep my kid? Should I not? Or if I ever had an accident, you know, there's many, many different variables, but I'm talking about just the ones like I had an oopsie. I slept with somebody. I got pregnant. The kid's fine. There is no complications. It's just, I don't think I'm ready, or I'm scared of what Grace just said, that I'm going to be overstimulated and I'm not ready for that. Or I had so many plans in my career. Those people that are on the fence, what advice would you give them?
Well, there's a Bible verse first that I want to reference. It's Psalm 127. And this is where we actually named our son. Mm-hmm. His name, I love our kids' names, Elijah Arrow. So his middle name is Arrow. I'm going to read 127:3-5. It says, children are a heritage from the Lord, and offspring are a reward from him. And then it says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Children are born in one's youth and are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Here it clearly says that it's a blessing that could bring good things. Like the people that have many of them, like, are, they're not going to be put to shame. People who have kids, they won't be put to shame. It's a heritage. It's a great thing from God. I think because we're in a fallen world, there's going to be difficulties with everything, right? Like God meant it for good, but that doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect and sunshines and rainbows and dandy. I can't imagine, because thankfully I was married. Thankfully I wanted a kid, even though it was scary. And we did go through the, I hated for both my kids. Like, who's going to watch our baby? Do we have enough money for childcare? Like, what am I going to do? What are we going to do for work? Like, that was stressful for me. And I can't imagine if I was in a worse situation where I didn't have a job or I didn't have a loving husband. Like, I can imagine how much more the anxiety and the turmoil, and that's horrible to go through and not knowing what might happen next. And now you have like another kid in your hand. I don't think two wrongs make a right though. So oopsie, you did a wrong. You didn't want a baby or accidentally got pregnant or whatever, right? Okay, that maybe was your first wrong choice. Two wrongs don't make a right. So that's not the baby's fault. And I truly believe God made the children. It's just like the kingdom of God is like for those who are like children minded. Like the way he talks about children and babies is so beautiful. So I think it's abortion is killing a baby. I don't think that's what God has in mind. I don't think that's biblical. I think it goes against God's value of life and against of how he speaks of children. Do I say like all your problems are fixed? No. Again, we live in a fallen world where there's natural consequences. Sometimes that looks like adoption. Maybe that's going to be better for the kid, right? Maybe that's going to be better for you. But I do think if you go that route, whether it's adoption or you raising it, again, do I think it's going to be easy every step of the way? No, we're so blessed to live the life we live, and we go through difficulties with our kids. We go through hardships. We go through times where we feel like we're not enough. So no, your life is not going to be automatically like, thing, you have a baby. It's a blessing, and blessings are pouring from heaven, and it's amazing. But do I, what we've been talking about and what we've been saying from episode one, when you struggle through and when you go through it, instead of how can I avoid it and how can I take the easy way out? Because I do believe abortion is the easy way out. I don't want to say that, like, because I know so many women who have abortions, they go through difficulties too. So I don't, it's not super easy. Like mentally, I know that's difficult. But when you kind of, okay, what is the path of least resistance? What's going to kind of, you know, like in the long run be easy for me or the best for me? We said it, like if you endure and do what's right, like you're going to see glory. Like God backs that up. He sees your effort. He sees your diligence. He sees it. And I do believe like with suffering comes glory. So I do believe like God is going to back us up. And I loved what my mom always said. She would say like a blessing is from God. Like he's going to provide. And we've seen from Elijah in the beginning and Uriah, how we did not know what was going to happen. What, like, how we were going to make ends meet, who was going to watch our kids. And every step we took of faith and with prayer, we just saw God's hand work. And I think it's a beautiful way with kids to really exercise your faith, because I think you'll need prayer the most when you become a parent. You're part of you, like your heart is out, how they say, like your heart is walking out now. And you're like, oh, when you're in my belly, I could protect you. When you're in my belly, I could do this for you. I could nourish you how I wanted to, you know. Now they're there. You take them to school and it's scary, especially now in this condition day that we live in. Like we have no control over them. And this is a perfect opportunity to get on your knees, to pray, like to say, God, I need to see you as a father. I need to see you as a protector. Like they need you. No longer do I need you, but they need you. And like exercising your faith. I think kids truly allow you to live out your faith and allow you to live out your walk with God, because that's when you need him the most. Did I answer that question?
Yeah, I guess somewhat.
What do you mean?
I think, so going into the parameters of what we're talking about. So we're talking about the ladies or the men that, you know, had an oopsie. I don't want to call it a mistake because kids are never a mistake, but an oopsie, like you weren't intending to have a kid.
Yeah.
You had a kid and now you're wondering, do I keep the kid or not? Again, there's no complications with the kid, because I know there's different things. Again, when there is complications, you know, the mom's life is at risk or the baby's life is at risk. Those are different circumstances. I'm talking about the ones that everyone's healthy, everyone's good. Now it's just like, do I want the baby or not, right? I think from the moment that you had sex, it's just like you need to take responsibilities for your actions.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't cross your T's and dot your I's in regards to protecting yourself, and then you ended up pregnant, both men or women, I don't want to just put this on the women, both parties, you need to take responsibility for your actions. In the same way, I always say you always have a choice. Whatever it is that you want to do, you go ahead, you do it. And I'm not saying I'm pro-choice, but I'm just saying like with anything in life, you always have a choice, because people go, I didn't have a choice, I had to do this. It's like, no, you always have a choice. And so if you decide that you want to terminate the baby, it's like you need to take responsibility for that. Nobody else did that but you. You did the act of sex. You got pregnant and now you're terminating the baby. You need to take responsibility for that and you need to live with that for the rest of your life.
And we're not talking about rape.
No. We're just in the parameters of a mutual,
yeah,
consensual, sense. Like it was just, oops.
Yeah.
Right? You also have to do a heart check. This is what I believe. You have to do a heart check, because if you are going to terminate the baby, you need to think about why you are doing it. Some people are, my career. Honestly, for my opinion, that's selfish. I don't know if I have the means to be able to sustain this baby. I don't know if I want to stay with the opposite person that I made this baby with. All these things that are just like obstacle. It's exactly what you said. You could either choose the easy route, which is terminating the baby, but you live with that.
Mm-hmm.
You killed a baby. Dead. terminated. And I personally don't care if you say like, oh, well, it was just a fetus or it was only like 2 weeks old or blah, blah, blah. It didn't have a brain or it did have a brain. Like, forget it. In my opinion, you killed it. Dead. Murder. You gotta have to live with that. But what I agree with you in regards to like, you might not know what is on the other end of you giving birth to this baby. But that baby can make you a better person, or that situation of having a baby can make you a better person. I believe that 100%. Mm-hmm. Only if you embrace the process though. Because I know that there are other people that have chosen to have a baby and they have not embraced the process. And you hear about these crazy, ugly stories. Kids being left in a dumpster. Kids being left at home. There was a lady that went on vacation for like 2 weeks, left her baby all by, I don't know if it was a boy or a girl, but all by itself at home. Those are people that decided, I'm going to have a baby. And they went, nope, I don't want to do this. And that is just as bad. Like, and that's so sad. But if you are somebody who is thinking about it or have thought about like, oh, if I were to, you know, get pregnant right now, like, I don't know what I would do. Just think about it. Like Grace says, I believe that that situation can make you so much better because it teaches you how to love. It teaches you how to be even more responsible. It teaches you how to have faith. It teaches you how to trust God. It teaches you how to have patience. It teaches you all these things that little by little at the beginning, you might not see it. It might be really hard. But as time goes on, as you allow the process, and that works, it's the same analogy for anything that you do. You want to go hike a mountain, same analogy. You want to become CEO, same analogy. You want to open up a business, same analogy. It's always going to be hard at the beginning. It is always going to be hard at the beginning, especially if you're coming from nothing. It's always going to be hard at the beginning. And with time, you're going to want to see those results right now. With losing weight, you're going to want to see those results right now. But it's going to take time. It's going to take little efforts. It's going to take consistency. It's going to take time where then you're like, oh, like I look back and I'm like, oh, I have lost weight, or I am more wise. I am a better mother. Like I really love this baby and this baby brings out the best in me. That's what happens to a lot of people, especially women who that motherly instinct kick in. Like you're like, nah, it's time to provide. It's time to protect. It's time to give this baby food. It's time to take care of this baby. It's time to love this baby. Like a lot of times having a baby like really can pull that out of you. And so what I would say, I would encourage you, keep the baby, trust God. And also, I believe that there's a decent amount of help for single moms out there. If you are going to be a single mom, if not, I mean, two are better than one. So if you can work it out with the guy or you can work it out with the girl and it turns out great, then because we've talked about it before, we don't really believe in soulmates. It's two people that said, we are going to work at this.
Yeah. And I think we should do an episode. Maybe I'll do it next week about sex. Because that's where I hate the pro-choice or pro-life. Because it's no, you had a choice. Your choice was, do I open my legs or not?
Yeah.
That's where you should have chosen. Not, oh, I already did this. Now let me have a choice. Like, no, you had a choice. And now you don't want to live with the natural consequence. Not calling kids consequence, but that's what sex was literally made for. Now you want to live with the natural consequence of, oh, I put something in the oven and something actually came out of it. Like,
yeah,
no duh. Like that was the choice. So like a sex episode and why we feel like the sex industry is rampant and like why the enemy has such a stronghold on it, because I do believe it's all correlated. And I think the strong, how you said, the harder the journey or the more delayed gratification, I think it's the bigger the blessing. Mm-hmm. And kids can be a huge blessing. They can be difference makers. They can be like the answer that this generation is looking for. They can be people that are going to give hope and love. Like, they can do so much good. And I think that's why there's such an attack on the family unit, starting off with man and woman, starting off with our view of sex, then our kids. And how you said one of our main responsibilities, and I don't think this was said, you hinted at it, is keeping our kids innocent. And that's something like my mom always preached, like, before anything, is let our kids, you, how you said, be kids. And you were talking about letting them run wild and like make mistakes, but like protecting their mind, protecting their ears, protecting their hearts, what they see. Mm-hmm. It is disgusting how many kids are aware, like what they're aware of at such a young age. Like, I have 11 and 12 year olds. And if you would heard them speak, you'd be like, how the heck do they know what that is? And I do think that is our number one responsibility, of like protecting them from the evil that is out there. Whether that's people, ideas, images, sounds, like whatever that looks like. Because the enemy knows, like, they're on their forming years. And how you said, it could be the parent that messes up their future. It could be society. It could be a loved, like a family member. It could be a teacher. Like, people can mess up these kids. And how can we build, I guess, our job as parents is resilient kids, knowing that there is evil in the world, but how can we protect them as best as possible with the armor of Christ? I think that's our biggest like mission, but yeah, I think I'd want to do a sex episode. I'm just hesitant because some kids follow me on the TikTok reels, at least our podcast. I doubt they listen to all of it, but I'm just like, their parents are not guiding them and they just open access to everything.
Yeah, that would be a great episode. And so, and with that being said, we are going to wrap this one up. I just realized as you were talking that we didn't really get into the advice part of parenting, but that we will leave for part 3 of parenting. Any advice that we might have, granted, we only have, again, a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, but we feel like we have pretty decent kids, you know. So we'll leave that for the next episode. We do appreciate you guys tuning in on this episode. We hope that you guys appreciated it and enjoyed it, was really the word that I was looking for. And yeah, we will see you guys on episode 33. And yeah, we love you guys and we'll see you guys next time.